This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
0-2 on the way. And it's swung on and hit high in the air, deep left field. Sosa going over towards the corner at the wall. He jumps and he caught it. Oh my goodness.
Oh, Edmundo
Sosa, his first play in his first start ever in left field. And he's robbed Ozuna of a home run.
Yes.
He brought it back over the wall.
What a play by Edmundo Sosa early in that game last night. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Do the Phillies have a bullpen problem? I believe so. They certainly don't have a Sosa problem because that guy's been a good player so far this year. Hugh, last night they, and you said it the first segment, they kind of experimented. His first start in left field, and we got to see both sides of the Edmundo Sosa experiment. Let's start with the good, which was that play. Hugh, what a catch for a guy that had never played left field in a big league game to do it. And then he did a little, you know, the celebration by the wall with his bullpen buddies that are out there. That was an awesome catch
to
save a home run.
Phenomenal play. And, you know, we were talking about it early on, whether or not he would be comfortable out there. I would say it was a mixed bag of how he performed out there. But to have those type of plays against that team and the desperation they were in, I think that was pretty impressive.
So you could see right away there's natural athleticism, and most shortstops are the best athletes on the team anyway. There's natural athleticism that he, with time, I think he could figure it out there. Can we also hear the TV call? Because Scott's call was great. I also thought T-Mac's call on TV was awesome as well. Here's T-Mac on the robbery by Sosa last night.
0-2, hit in the air to left field, pretty well hit. Sosa's getting a chance, go over toward the corner, to a wall, and he reaches up, and he made the catch! Oh, like Spider-Man! Edmundo Sosa getting his feet wet here in the bottom of the first inning. He just robbed Marcell Ozuna of a home run. And look at the smile on his face.
Yeah, the Spider-Man call is a good one. And that's all that is athleticism, instinct. He's a baseball player, and he went out there and made a play. Unfortunately, that wasn't it, right? There was more to it last night. There was the good, but then there was the not so good. All right, let's hear the play. Second inning. This is where the game started to go off the wheels, really, for Wheeler here. Because, Hugh, there was a ball hit in the air by Riley that was, I mean, routine. And routine play, it happens every day in Major League Baseball. Shallow fly ball to the outfield in between the left fielder and center fielder. And here's how it sounded, and we'll talk about what happened there.
2-1. Swinging a high fly ball left center. Sosa coming over in the alley. He's calling, and he lets it. Actually, it ends up dropping right in front of Johan Rojas. And Riley's into second base. And obviously an experience in the outfield. And that costs a double. As Rojas definitely was looking over at Sosa as if Sosa was calling him.
Yeah. I mean, this is Johan's ball 100%. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
So that was a mess, Hugh, because not only did it lead to a double, it led to what was then a walk and then a home run by Murphy. So, in effect, that play led to probably, and then look, Wheeler was a little off anyway all night, but
the Braves rally.
Yeah, I mean, three runs are on the board that if he makes that catch, perhaps one or none or just two or whatever. It's probably not three if he makes that catch.
Can I just take this moment real quick to appreciate the work that Scott Fransky does? Like, seriously, all jokes aside, because Scott has a way of, especially when you're listening to it on the radio, of delivering something where you know he's doing the best self-edit job that he possibly can in
that
moment.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
No, I'm saying, but it's one of those things, man, where he tries his best not to be a fan in the moment because he's trying to give the people what they need to hear. And you can hear his level of disappointment in that play.
Sometimes it comes out, though.
It does,
come
man.
On.
And, and, And I appreciate that because and he does a great job of painting the picture, yeah. especially when you're in the car.
Oh, for sure.
And I just wanted to give him his flowers, man, because that one right there, he was perplexed. He didn't understand what the hell was going on with when that play just dropped at Rojas' feet. He didn't understand.
Part of why Scott's so great is he allows silence to tell the story sometimes.
Yes.
Now, I think great broadcasters do that. Joe Buck, once in an ALCS game, didn't speak for 25 seconds. He let the crowd tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Fransky does it sometimes, too. When something great happens, he kind of lets the crowd tell the story. But he also does it, Hugh, when there's disappointment. I was actually...
You can hear it.
I was moving around the house last night, so I had it in my ear. I was listening. I didn't see that live, but I was listening. It's a Scott. And I could tell by his voice and how the silence happened that it was a mistake.
Yeah.
The ball didn't just drop. So
somebody didn't get the memo. Somebody, and I blame Rojas in this because you've been out there and it fell at your feet. And in a moment like that, you have to, you know, Sosa, that's his first time being out there.
Yeah.
He's looking for direction. And you know, you have to kind of help him out a little bit. But the most egregious thing was, you just let the ball fall right there in front of you.
So I might surprise you on this. And this is like a opposite of usual. I'm going to defend your guy Rojas for a second here. I agree with you. Ultimately, he's got to take charge. He's the mm-hmm. center fielder. That was his first time playing with Sosa next to him. And as you heard, Scott said it in the call, that it almost sounded like Sosa called for it. And then we found out afterwards, the topper said that Sosa was saying, You, yours, yours, yours. And I can understand how in a road park, when there's sound, like the crowd is you know, it's a, I could see how Rojas thought maybe he was saying, I got it. Usually in the outfield, and I never played at a big league level, but just watching all the years, the person who's calling it talks.
I get what you're saying with that.
There's no reason to talk if you're saying yours. Someone's got to call it. If I'm an outfielder
that.
And it's noisy and I hear someone yelling, I'm thinking he's saying, I got it, mine.
I give
so
you
then
that.
So then I might say, oh, you know what? He feels he's got it. I'm going to let him have it.
I give you that. But when you ain't been out there, like, come on, man. You're the elder statesman in this situation.
He should have taken charge earlier.
He should have said, hey, no, me, I got it. Because he was right there.
He
was right there. That was in your area. So I feel like even though what you're saying might be true, and in the moment you hear what you hear, you still got to be the guy to take charge.
To me, the common denominator that changed yesterday was Sosa. Rojas never does that. Rojas is a good outfielder.
Yeah. He's had some boneheaded outfield mistakes before.
But typically, if the ball's in the air, he's pretty good. Like, he takes charge. He goes and gets it instead of Castellanos. He goes and gets it instead of Marsh. What changed yesterday, to me, was he's playing next to someone he never played with, and their communication was off. To me, that was more about the experiment than Rojas just got dull all of a sudden.
So I think you're out of your mind. Because I think, to your point, that it's new for him playing next to Sosa. As the senior outfielder, the one who's out there specifically for his defense, we know he doesn't get much mm-hmm. at the plate. He's been in the outfield for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
Rojas? He should know in the back of his head he's playing with someone inexperienced in left field. And
that's,
the center field's job.
That's kind of how I look at
the
it.
The center fielder's job is always to take charge in those moments. So even if Sosa's yelling, Rojas has the power to overrule him and say, I got it. No, I got it. No matter what Sosa's saying, whether he misunderstands or not, forget what he's saying. He has to be the one that makes the call, finally.
Well,
he let that ball drop right in front of him. That was a joke.
So you're right. He should have overruled him, right? That's it. He can do that. He's a center fielder. I'm just saying, I would like someone to ask Topper how often an outfielder says something without it being, it's my ball. I just don't think outfielders say you.
But I mean,
that's inexperience from Sosa. Right, I think it threw Rojas off.
But like, it's almost like, and I guess this is a more extreme example. Remember when the Eagles let up that 3rd and 33 play and Darius Slay's like, well,
on Christmas Eve against the Cowboys?
He's like, yeah, Slay's like, I did my job. And he put the blame on who essentially were like rookies and you're like total scrubs. It's like, you're the captain of the defense. Like, you should be the one taking accountability, charge, and maybe even like communicating with some of the younger guys out there, the inexperienced guys out there. It's on, like, that's on Rojas. That Sosa is inexperienced. That's kind of like That's just what it is, though. Like, Rojas needs to be the one that steps up and goes, like, no, that's me, no matter what Sosa
said. I agree with that. He should have overruled him. I'm just saying that I think Sosa's inexperience led to the problem more than just Rojas forgetting what he's supposed to do out there. Also, to be fair to Rojas, and it's a good example you brought up because it's similar. Rojas did take blame after the game. Rojas didn't hide from it. He said, it's mine. I should have done it. Like, he took the blame for it. Can we hear from Topper with what happened in center field in that second inning on the ball that was just fell in between the two of them?
Yeah, there was miscommunication, but you know, Rojas is the captain out there, and he's got to take charge. He's got priority, and so we talked to him about it. Especially, you know, guy's playing left field for the first time in his life. So.
Was Sosa calling it? Is that the miscommunication?
Actually, he was saying you.
Oh.
Which you shouldn't say anything. So there was a little bit of both, but yeah, it's Rojas' fault.
You should have said you people.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You people.
I am glad
that dog would have hunted.
You know what? I know that Sosa's the inexperienced one, and we're going to give him a little pass, right, because it's his first time. There's a lesson learned there for Sosa. You, in the outfield, I mean, Topper just said it. You don't talk unless you're calling the ball. There's only should be one voice, the person who says, I got it. Someone's got to make the call. I got it. And then you go get the baseball. If someone else is talking, I'm in the outfield. I'm like, what is he saying? Is he saying he's got it? Maybe he's got it. I'll let him have it. And Rojas made a mistake on that, but I actually think Sosa led to that issue. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on all this? The Sosa situation, the outfield, and primarily the discussion early in the show is about the bullpen. Is it a problem? It feels like that to me right now. With Kerkering having a tough night last night, he's their best guy. Alvarado's been pretty good, a little wild. We expect that. Strom's been, I'd say, pretty good, but it doesn't feel like as good as he was last year. And those are the only three I trust. I mean, Romano... That game last night, that was a tie game. I don't even think he was a consideration. That's how bad he's been right now. And Tanner Banks in a one-run game, come on. The bullpen's an issue right now. Four games so far this season, they've almost blown. Phillies ended up winning three of them. I think it's kind of covered up the issue here. Let's go to the phone line. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast talking Phillies. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing this morning?
What up, man?
Hey, Will, what's up?
All right. You know what? Yesterday I was telling my partner, I said, damn, I meant to say this to the Phillies. Like, I may be wrong. I think they got a little cocky last night. I know. Our GM was trying to, you know, do something different and everything. But, you know, I know we just came off that big win with the Dodgers, and I'm like, dang, I hope that don't go to their head. Stay focused, and all we want to do is win. But, you know, we let one slip away from us. So I know we're gonna finish these last couple games off strong. I just think, you know, these guys just gotta stay focused. It's too early to say anything about the bullpen, right? Because I knew that was coming.
It's not.
I just think, you know, we gotta let them, you know, blend in together. We gotta let them go ahead and start playing together a little bit longer. And, you know, then we can make our decision. I say at least three more series, and then we can make a decision. You know what I'm saying? But I think we're still off to a good start. I just think we need to focus more. I think we need to steal some more bases. I think we need to, make that pitcher work, man. Make them work. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, we're going to have a good season. I just think we need to touch up on a few things. That's all.
Well, they do, yeah. And Will, we appreciate the phone call. Look, it's not too early. I mean, you can see it with your eyes. You can see it with the people on the roster. I don't think it's too early. Sometimes a shiny record can move you off of the little things, right? There's little things that happen with a team all the time. And this has been a thing all year. I mean, the Phillies right now, and again, I know it's early, but if we want to say, what were the stats being thrown out there the other day? They're number one in chase rate. Like, it is funny how when we like a stat, it's not too early. The chase rate thing, everyone talked about on Monday. But the fact that the Phillies are bottom half of the league in all the bullpen numbers, it's like, well, it's too early. No, it's not. It's the same thing. It's something that you can assign a lot of importance to, but it's not lying. They haven't been a good bullpen so far.
Well, I look at it more like this, Joe. Not like I say, oh, that's a good thing. It's a start. Like the chase rate thing is a start.
Yeah, you seem to view everything the same way. It's early, no matter how you slice it.
It's one of those things, and I know, you know, we're in a baseball for us is a live or die situation every day. But I don't think you really know a team till like, what, 25 to 30 games in.
It might be actually closer to like Memorial Day.
Yeah, because so all of these, the fact that we've started out the way that we started out is a good thing, in my opinion. And all of these things that you're talking about, like the Alec Bohm situation, which he did a pretty good job of holding his emotions last night when he struck out. It wasn't bad, but you could see it.
Yeah. I mean, it was better than other days.
Well, yeah, it's a work in progress. And that's how I tend to view it. You know, I never get too high, never get too low. I'm kind of like in the middle. And that's why yesterday watching that game, my biggest thought coming out of that was, man, the Braves knew they were in a bad spot. They had to win that game. They had to rally. And they fought and they rallied. The Austin Riley hit at the end. Like, they were in a position where they had to do something. Because you lose this, then it has the propensity to be even worse, you know, as you move forward. So now they got a little reprieve. They got a little bit of life. Now you just got to go in there. You got to take that little bit of life away from them.
Well, let's get a win tonight. 215-592-9494 to hop in. All right, before we go any further, we do have a prize to give away today. We have a gift card, a gas card from Sunoco. Now, it says here $94. You know I don't like that. I like the round number of 100. So we're giving away a 100.
Costing them a lot of money.
That's right. $6 at a time.
And
I do this.
The way that things going, we're going to need all that gas.
You are. So we're giving it away. $100 gift card to Sunoco. Get the highest level performance out of your car with 94 octane. Now available exclusively at Sunoco gas stations. So we're giving away a $100 gift card today. Let's do a little game we like to call Hughes Clues.
You seen my dog Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hughes Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hughes Clues. It's Hughes Clues and you.
Y'all know what it is. It took a while to cook this up, and I take my time to give up these great clues.
But you see, you set yourself up for
this. Because I feel like if you listen to this show, you should know me well enough to know, like, when I say certain things, it should just, oh, okay. It should just pop in your head.
I like how you put this in the audience.
I do.
If they're a little confused with your clues, it's their fault.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, but these are some good clues, though.
All right,
this is a good clue. You ready for this first one?
We'll tell you if it's a good clue or not.
Ready for this first
one? Yep.
This is one of my favorite sports figures.
Is that a good clue?
It is a good clue.
It's not. There's so many sports figures.
Yeah, I don't have too many favorites.
Well, you have enough. I mean.
And I'll take one away for you.
Wow.
It's not a football player.
All right. Well, that certainly helps.
Why would you do that?
Why would I do that? Because, you know, because
you
I
got
do
sensitive about clue before anyone even
I know,
said
no,
it. No, because.
That does narrow it down. I mean, you're taking away a whole sport.
A whole sport, but because somebody asked me the other day, who is my favorite football player that plays? I said nobody. Because I don't have a favorite player. So
not Bryce Huff?
Bryce Huff ain't my favorite. I like him. I like the story. Bryce Huff is poised for a bounce back year.
Stop.
He's poised for a bounce
back year. Well, I guess, I mean, three sacks is a bounce back after what we just saw last year.
Yeah, I'll give him six.
Six sacks.
An Eagle. If he's here. Why are you laughing, Kyle?
I mean, because.
He couldn't get six snaps at the end of the season.
I mean, he had trouble adjusting to what we were asked to do. He's going to get better this year, though. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Hughes' favorite sports figure is our first clue for Hughes' clue. Let's go to Julie in Swedesboro. Hey, Julie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Julie.
How you doing, Julie?
I'm good. Well, honestly, I'm pissed off after last night. I mean, yeah, bullpen has a ton of issues. You guys went through all that. But seeing that ball land at Rojas' feet was atrocious. Like, when I saw the play, I actually screamed. And I don't know how I didn't wake my kids up because that just can't happen. And that was his fault. Yeah, I mean, Sosa shouldn't have called whatever he said, but Rojas should have made that call. He's the one. He's a senior outfielder. It's just pathetic. You can't let that happen in a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah, and it's a double whammy, Julie. Everyone's right that Rojas has to ultimately take charge. But when you're experimenting in your outfield in the regular season with a guy who's never played left field, these things happen, right? So the Phillies don't have a set outfield. It's April 9th. They're into the season, and unfortunately, we're experimenting here with infielders because that's where how the team is set up.
That is true. I mean, you made a good point by that, but I don't know. It just looked like Little League. You know what I mean?
It did.
Or even people. And it's just embarrassing. I don't know. I just think that was just an awful call. There were just so many crazy things that went on in that game last night. But I hope they keep Sosa in the lineup because he's just so hot. I just hope they figure out what to do with him. And hopefully Rojas will speak up more.
Well, he has to because he's not in there for his bat. We know that. So when he plays.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got to make those catches. All right, Julie, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues. Hughes' favorite sports figure.
I'm Muhammad Ali.
That's a good guess.
That's a really good guess.
Super famous, big name, you know, obviously a legend there. That's a good one. Julie, not it, but a good guess there. Yeah, ultimately, it's a poor reflection on Rojas here, even though I do give him a little bit of slack considering the guy was calling something he shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been saying yours. Like that, if you're an outfielder and you hear the other outfielder speaking, typically that he's saying, I got it. So
yeah, I mean, I get that part, yeah. But you're the elder statesman.
I know.
Sosa ain't been out there that long, man. This is his first day. Be like, hold up, young Thundercat. Yeah. Let me get this.
I think it'd be different if it were the other way around. Like if it was Rojas yelling at Sosa saying, yours, and Sosa's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
That would make more sense to me.
Well, then I'd be mad at Rojas. He knows you don't say anything unless you say, I got it.
But he's the center fielder.
I know.
Like that's where I think this whole thing's backwards.
Yeah.
Like he's the one that has to take charge. No matter what Sosa, even if Sosa's yelling, I got it, Rojas has the ability and the stature to say, no, I got it.
I hear you.
Like, no matter what.
So here's the way I view it. I'm not happy with Rojas. Like, I'm not totally taking him off the hook. I think there's three elements, and in two of them, probably it's Rojas' fault. He should have been the first one to speak and say, I got it. He could have ended it by saying, no, I got it. You back off. But look, I don't think we should ignore the middle, which is Sosa speaking for no reason. If you're not going to catch the ball, you don't say anything.
Not making excuses, but being in that situation and just having that monster-ass play that you had, you're feeling yourself a little bit, Joe. You know what I mean?
He probably was.
You like, hell, this like that's your first time out there. And you make that monster, you go over the fence and you grab that, you get over the fence and you grab
and
that.
And you
thing.
See that little dance he had with the bullpen guys?
You know what I mean? As y'all can see me on the YouTube, go over the fence. Like, that was a hell of a play.
Yeah, it was.
So now you feeling like, okay, I got this. And to me, the most egregious thing is y'all looking at each other in the outfield and the ball just pop.
It was. My son had his first Little League game and my daughter's playing softball. That is a Little League thing where the ball.
Yeah, it just
everyone
plops.
Just looks at each other like, who's going to catch it? It just plops right there.
Yeah, that at least. So you should, I mean, Rojas, just put your hand out. Just attempt. Like, it looks better optically if you would have just put your glove out there and tried to catch it. It was like y'all arguing about who should catch it.
You got it, me, you?
Nobody.
Nobody
got it. Nobody got it.
And then a few minutes later, there's three runs on the board. 215-592-9494. Do the Phillies have a bullpen problem? It certainly feels like that to me. There's about three trustworthy relievers. One of them had a tough night last night. I think we've got a bullpen issue. And how they fix it, I don't know. But what it is right now, especially with the Romano situation, because it seems like he's gone from, he's our closer, to, he's our high leverage guy.
We're working on it.
We're worried. I don't know what's going on. The fact that he was throwing on Sunday with all he had and it was coming out 92.
That bothered you.
Yes. Because that's not good.
He was throwing it from the shoulders. It is still wasn't no heat
I
on
mean,
that
he
thing.
Was sweating to get it to 92. You don't want that. 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. Your guess is for Hughes Clues. All the Phillies conversation. Plus, there's been an interesting theme with some of the mock drafts that we've done lately, and I want to get everyone's take on it because there's a position that the Eagles have been linked to at least a few times in these mock drafts, and it's got me scratching my head. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than they think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.